Ben Adler has written an interesting piece in the Columbia Journalism Review about the way younger Americans get the news, and more importantly, how they share the news, and how that getting and sharing is affecting the news business, and in particular, journalism on the whole. Ben, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. When you write about this, you are talking about people essentially under the age of maybe 35 or 40 and their impact on the news business, right?
Yes, that's right. It's really a different generation. If you're in your, say, 30s or even early 40s, this may or may not describe you. It depends if you're an early adopter of new technologies.
Okay, so in many of these cases, we're talking about consumers who are not only getting the news, but they are participating in the distribution of the news. That's a good thing, right?
Well, I think it's probably a mixed blessing, like most technological innovations can be. It allows, because people are on Twitter, people are on Facebook, people are on sites like Reddit that allow you to submit articles that you like and vote up or down articles that you like or don't like. Consumers have a much larger role in deciding what gets more widely distributed, what gets read by more people or seen by more people, because they don't just decide for themselves. They also decide what are they going to share. And some people who are really active on social media may have a fair number of followers, even though they're not, professional journalists themselves. So that does mean that, you can bring attention to important things that the mainstream media might have ignored. It also means that you can see, as we've seen in the case of some of the misleading videos posted by Andrew Breitbart's website, that something that is lacks context can get really far and wide before that context is fully understood. And it also means that, if what the people want to share is, stuff that is entertaining but not informative on the most important issues of the day, then that's what will happen.
Okay, now there are two things that you just brought up there, and I want to touch on them, and we'll get to context in a second. But that greater point that you mentioned last, the concept that clicks count, does that mean that hard news loses?
It can, yes. People often do click on or share, really big breaking news. But they don't, what people tend not to share is another bad day in Syria, or there's a lot of poverty right now.
Yes.
Those kinds of articles don't tend to do as well on social media as articles that are kind of more fun, human interest stories.
Yeah. The more tabloid a story is, the more it's going to get people's interest. I don't mean tabloid in a derogatory sense, but I mean in terms of there's something spectacular in the story, as opposed to, okay, here's another story on how we have to fix our economy. That's probably not going to get a lot of clicks and tweets.
Precisely.
Okay.
People want to share things that they think other people will be impressed with them for sharing. So that can mean, depending on who you are, earnest, serious stuff. But for a lot of people, it's more about sharing, fun, featurey kind of stories.
Okay, so because clicks count so much, and I know media outlets keep an eye on that sort of stuff. Some of these actually have live metrics where they're watching which of their articles are getting the most clicks for, an hour or a day or whatever it is. Is that going to begin, or has it begun, to affect the kind of stories that are being covered by news outlets?
Yes, I think you see expansion of coverage of certain kinds of health and lifestyle things that are more clicky. You also see on successful sites like BuzzFeed and HuffPo that do a lot of, you know, good, serious reporting on politics and business, but that, you know, part of the way they pay the bills is they put together a lot of, you know, collections of celebrities being caught.
Kim Kardashian, you know, in a bikini.
Yeah. Or, you know, funny pictures of animals or something that, you know.
So let's go back to the context part of this. Is there a different context, do you think, with people who read something online or through tweets or Facebook, as opposed to somebody who reads it in a real newspaper or a magazine?
How do people process that differently?
Yeah, or how do they even come to the story in the first place, I think would be different between the two different kinds of media.
Yeah. Well, what? So, you know, if you get a newspaper or a magazine in the mail, it's organized in a way that sort of tells you what's most important, and you often, I mean, you can use the table of contents in a magazine, for example, to skip directly to the articles that most interest you. But if you see in the table of contents what else is there, and you might, you know, flip through it, and you would tend to do the same thing with a newspaper. And to a lesser extent, that was still even true on the internet, meaning if you went to NewYorkTimes.com or CNN.com or Time.com, the homepage is organized a bit like an old-fashioned newspaper front page to sort of put the biggest stories at the top and, you know, so forth. When you come to something through clicking on a link that was tweeted out or posted on Facebook or linked from a blog or an aggregator or anything like that, you just come directly to the article. So it's sort of like if you picked up a magazine in the middle, right on that article.
Yep.
You know, it's same thing if you click on a link someone emailed to you. So people are coming to, or through search for that matter. So people are coming to these bits of content totally stripped of the publication's sense of organization of the day's news. What does that mean? Well, it means that you know, if a publication does coverage of the most important international news of the day, and on its website has, you know, blog posts on light topics that wouldn't have even made it into the print edition or been promoted on the homepage, that latter kind of content can get all this traffic. And there's no sense of X is more important than Y in the way that you process this.
Yep. I would also be concerned about equality of reputation, how a news outlet with a long reputation for accuracy is now on the same par as a rumor blog.
That is an issue as well. I mean, if someone on some site you never heard of has a really sensational story and all your friends are tweeting it, you're going to click on it and see what it has to say. You may or may not believe it. But, of course, the younger consumers are, the more that they, having grown up with the internet, tend to view everything online as sort of more or less of equal value. That may mean that they believe it all, or it may not. It may mean that they're equally skeptical of it all.
But, yeah, if there is an equality of reputation, that could mean good or bad. All very fascinating stuff, and it's a great piece that Ben has written for the Columbia Journalism Review. I will put a link to it on our America Weekend page on Facebook, and that's a link that you can click on and you can trust. Ben, thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
As Ben Adler, contributing writer for The Nation and Politico and Newsweek and so many other print publications, I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. I'll be right back with today's edition of Knuckleheads in the News. America.